So great to see everybody this morning. I want to welcome everybody to our Sunday Bible study class. And I would like to welcome the visitors. If you're visiting this morning, welcome. And it's awesome to be here this morning to study about words, God's Word. Amen. We've been studying the kingdom of God. We've been studying that for the last couple of weeks since this beginning of this year. And we'll continue today. And you're in for a treat today, amen?
Amen.
You're in for a treat today because it's not because of me, but we're going to hear God's word preached today or be taught today, amen? I want to encourage you this morning with good news first. The field is ripe for harvest. This is in Vietnam. I was there this summer visiting the church. They had a 20-year anniversary. And this picture is a baptism. You've probably seen this on the Disciples Today. 11 brothers, single brothers baptized in 1 week. Okay, that's a party. It says, you know, at the beginning of the year, they had a goal. The single brothers had a goal of 24 people, 24 singles baptized. And at the end of the year, they had 24. They had a goal of 20, but at the end of the year, they had 24. Wow. And 1 week, they baptized 11 guys. Amen?
Amen?
And you see all the sisters up there, they're very excited about it. Yeah. They're cheering on. Come on, brothers. You know, in Proverbs 25:25 said, like cold water to a weary soul is good news from a distant land. So that's great news. I have a lot of stuff to cover this morning. I have 17 pages. So you guys ready? Yeah? You ready, right? You know, thank you. I want to thank you, Steve, for giving me the opportunity to teach this class. It's an honor to be teaching along with him. I really respect Steve a lot. And, you know, thank you for all for your encouragement and support, for your prayers. You know, today, you guys, it's going to be challenging. I'm going to warn you first. Buckle your feet. Buckle your seatbelt. I'm sorry, not your feet. You know, this class is not for the weak heart. You know, if you have a weak heart, you should not be in this auditorium this morning. Some language will not be suitable for all audience. Okay, so I'm going to challenge you this morning. Some will, you know, walk away here, have more cynical and critical attitude. Or, you know, you might say, oh, it's a nice message. But some will walk away and say, Lord, forgive me, for I'm a sinner. I need to repent. And my hope is that your response will be the letter response. Let us pray. Amen. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much that we can be here this morning to hear your word, God. Thank you for your word that leads us every day. I pray that our hearts are open this morning. Our hearts are open to receive your word, to change your heart this morning, God. We're so grateful, God. Please lead us, teach us. Father, may your kingdom come on this earth, God, as is in heaven. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we've been studying, like I said, we've been studying in the Old Testament about the kingdom of God and how it was fulfilled in the New Testament. You know, Steve talked about, you know, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's near. And last week we talked about talked about the Beatitudes last week, and that was the appetite for this week. Today's the main course. Okay, so we're getting deeper and deeper to God's Word, what God is calling us to do. You know, it's called the Sermon on the Mountain. It was covered from chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew 7. And this is, I believe, it's the constitution of God's kingdom. This is Jesus' manifesto. This is what we live by, live on. Okay? And if you want to become a disciple and follow Christ, this is your constitution. This is what you got to live by. This is how what God has called us to be. To be a disciple, to be in His kingdom, we got to follow His rule. It is a higher calling than the Old Testament law. We will see today. Some of us would think the sermons of on the mountain is unrealistic, impractical, or insane. But Jesus said, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. These are strong words. Amen? How are we going to do this? It's impossible. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Do we believe? What does Jesus mean by this? Are we to our Pharisees the Pharisees? Does anybody have any idea what Jesus means by this? This is a class, amen. I expect participation, and you have a great, you know, when Jesus comes back. Zach.
I think what it's saying is that if you rely on your own self, on your own strength, then it is impossible. But when you rely on God's strength and the Holy Spirit, then it's possible.
Amen. Anyone else? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus mean by this? All right. Yeah, Jesus said, you know, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Exceed, surpass. Okay? And Jesus is not talking about doing the outwardly things, just like Stephen said. You know, we'll see in Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You know, teachers was rebuking these guys. You hypocrites! You know, you do all these things. You give a tenth of your spices and mint and dill and cumin, but you can neglect the most more important thing. You know, Jesus is talking about the heart. Yeah. It's not what you do outwardly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the righteousness that Jesus is talking about. Let's go to Matthew 19:16-22. Let's open our Bibles. Amen. We're in a Bible study class. All right, verse 16, we read about the rich young man. Now a man came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, What good thing must I do to get into eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possession and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Why did Jesus ask, why did he ask Jesus this question? Anybody? Why did he ask Jesus the question? See, to see where his heart is? Okay. What else?
I think he knew Jesus was, and he wanted to know the complete truth of what really was going on in life. Because he was missing something. And what he was missing, he really didn't want to find.
Okay, maybe there's something there that is not right, right? Maybe there's something that's not right in his heart. And even though he does all these things, right? He knows he's doing it, right? He obeyed the commands. I mean, this guy is good. This guy, he's obeyed the commands since he was little. All the commands. I mean, outwardly, he's perfect. Right? What's missing? You know, we can do everything outwardly right. We can go to church. We can tithe. We can say amen. You know, we can do all these things. It doesn't mean that we're right with God. We can be far from God even though we do the right thing. You know, this guy went away sad. I don't know what happened. You know, I'm not sure if he repented or not, but he went away sad. You know, I would think that if he does all these commandments, I mean, he did all these things, he would be excited, right, when Jesus challenged him. I would say, oh, man, I'll do it, whatever you say. But this guy, he went away sad, so it tells a little bit what is in his heart, right, what's more important in his heart. Jesus went and explained what he means by your righteousness. Your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisee. Let's read Matthew 5:21. This is why he goes on to explain what he means, okay? He said, verse 21, he said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to the brother, Raka, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You know, Jesus said, you've heard that it was said in the law, right? He's referring to law. It would say like that. If you murder, you'll be judged. But he said, but I tell you, whoever is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. He said, you don't even go there. Murder is not there yet. But even if you are angry, you're subject to judgment. You know, anger is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous emotion. Murder is just an end result of uncontrolled anger. You know, and he say, don't even say, you fool, because you'll be in danger of hell. You know, your words can be very dangerous also. You can kill somebody with your words. In Proverbs 12:18, you don't have to look there, make a reference to that, 12:18, it says, reckless words pierce like a sword, But the tongue of the wise brings healing. You know, your reckless word is like a sword. You can kill somebody with that. You can do a lot of damages with that. You know, you can hurt a lot of relationship with that. You know, nowadays, when you go for a job interview, they will check your social media stuff. They will ask for your Facebook. They will check what's on there. A lot of people regret what they put on there. You know, and a lot of people just, you know, nowadays they have an app for you to take back what you say. So they come up with an app to do that. So you got to be careful what you put on there, okay? You know, I have Facebook, but I don't put anything on there. Just maybe happy birthday or something like that. But not anything else. We can use word to encourage. We can use word to lift people up. But at the same time, we can use it to hurt a lot of people. We should use the social media to glorify God. Amen. We should use it to encourage people and study the Bible with people. You know, lately there are a lot of stuff on the news, you know, people murdering people, you know, because out of anger. You know, you turn on the news, you know, last week, this guy's in Missouri, southeast Missouri, he went and killed not 8-9 people because of anger. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. You like that? I was having fun with that yesterday. You know, Perry Parks is the one who shows me how to do this. I just learned how to do that. So I was having fun. Amen. So a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself from under control. Wow. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone, James 1:19, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because a human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Let's continue. We got to move on. All right, let's go to verse 23, 26 in chapter 5. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still there with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. If you have something against your brother, you must deal with it. You cannot go to God and pray to God and when you have something that is not dealt with. God's not going to listen to you. You cannot be right with God when you're not right with your brothers and sisters. Go to John, 1 John chapter 4. Verse 19. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's a kingdom, amen? Amen. You cannot have people in the kingdom hating each other. That's not appropriate. You cannot call yourself a Christian, and when you have something in your heart, you're not dealt with, have not dealt with. And you should settle, verse 25, you should settle matters with other people. If you have stuff, you have your problem with your co-workers, your neighbors, you got to deal with them. You got to live in peace and harmony with your neighbors. God commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. We have enough enemies already, so we don't need to go make more enemies. All right, let's go talk about, read verse 27, 30, chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eyes cautious to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand cautious to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body go to hell. You know, again, Jesus said, you have heard, right? But I'm teaching something else. If you look at a woman lustfully, you already committed adultery. Jesus, bring the bars higher. Don't even lust. Don't even go there. You know, adultery is not an act, but this is in our heart. Now, adultery started in our heart already when we look at a woman lustfully, or when we looked at someone else lustfully. Jesus said, whatever part of your body causes you to sin, you got to cut it off. That's radical. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Does it Jesus mean that? Is it hyperbole? Excuse me. I cannot say that word right. Hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. You know, if he really literally mean that, we'd probably be maimed right now and blind right now, right? He say it's better to go to heaven without some of your body parts than go to hell with everything. Jesus is making a point, we got to be radical with our sins. You know, one of the teachers in the kingdom, Gordon Ferguson, he has his formula, okay? He said, evaluate. If you have you evaluate a situation. You think the situation might cause you to sin, then regulate. Okay? And if regulating doesn't work, amputate. I was going to put a picture of amputation up there, but it isn't going to look good. Right? Sorry. Too graphic. So what does he mean by this? I'm going to give you an example of watching TV. So you watch TV, right? You evaluate. Is this program going to be good? Is it going to be clean? Is it suitable for me and my family? And if there's a possibility that causes you to struggle or sin, evaluate. I'm sorry, regulate. Have someone watch it with you. Don't watch it late at night. And if that doesn't work, amputate it. Yeah. Don't watch it. Good. You know, cut it off. Throw the TV away. Or give it to me. I have this TV, you know, this box TV, you know, the old TV. I don't have the flat screen. I have a flat screen, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So give it to me if you don't use it. Singles. You know, singles should not go out on dates by yourself. You gotta be smart. Don't give Satan a foothold. If you're on a date, you gotta have a double or a triple or whatever. You know, when I was dating, I always have people with me. I cannot go out by myself. You know, that's the kingdom mindset. And you know, the world would think you guys are you're insane. You're not normal. Because the people, God's kingdom, we take things seriously. We're radical with sins. Be wise. You shouldn't be in a car by yourself either if you're dating. You should have people riding with you. You know, when we tell that with your friends, they think you're nuts. But we're people of the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Verse Ephesians 5:3 says, among you then there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Not even a hint. Don't give people a hint that you're doing bad stuff. Okay, we got to be pure. Let me ask you, why is Jesus so radical with sin? Anybody? Why is Jesus so radical with sin? Okay. Destroys us. Jesus had to pay for it? Holiness. Right. You know, sin is the cause of all the world's problem. Sin is the cause of all the world's problem. Because of sin, Jesus had to die for us. He had to pay God has to pay the price for us. Sin destroys people's lives. It messes up. That's why God hates it so much. We cannot play around with sin. You know, God hurts when we sin. I want to challenge everybody here, you got to be radical and repent and imitate whatever caused you to sin today. Whatever is in your heart today, you got to take it out. Because sin is like cancer in our hearts. If we would let it in there, it will slowly will kill us. You know, last week in South Korea, they lifted this law, the 62 years law of adultery. In Korea, if you're caught in adultery, you could be put into jail for 2 years. But thousands of cases, you know, people were charged, but you know, has not been put into jail yet. But thousands of cases has been charged, and people protest against it because, you know, people still do it even though there's a law. And the government put that law there because they say that it causes problem with the social with the social disorder. Okay, so even though, you know, people instill law, people still do it. You know what I mean? Government instill law, and people still do it. So it's useless. Let's read verse 31, 32. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Wow! You know, Jesus again said, it has been said one more time. But I tell you, you know, anyone who divorces his wife causes her to commit adultery. Now, Jesus brings it higher. Let's go to chapter 19. Jesus explains it further. Matthew 19, verse 3 to 9. Some Pharisees came to him, test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and he and the two become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Why then, they asked, did Moses commanded that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? Jesus replied, Moses permitted you to divorce your wife because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, and marries another woman, commits adultery. You know, it was clear that God did not want adultery at the beginning. God always wanted people, when they married, to stick to be one, to be faithful unto the end. You know, Jesus, God said he hates divorce in Malachi 2. You know, some people, you know, the Pharisees come and they ask, you know, all these questions to trick Jesus. See what he says. You know, people nowadays, they know this verse. They know the law. Even people who are Christians. But they come with these explanation, ideas, why they should have divorce. No matter how you explain it, no matter how you rationalize it, it is still a sin. Divorce is a sin. You cause other people to commit adultery. And with sin, there are consequences. There are consequences. All right. Running out of time here. I'd like to read something for you in this book, Bringing Up Boys, by Dr. James Dobson. And it will tell you about the consequences of divorce. All right. Chief among the threats of this generation of boys is the breakdown of family. Every other difficulty we will consider has been caused by or is related to this fundamental strategy. It can hardly be overstated. We have been emphasizing for years that stable, lifelong marriages provide the foundation for social order. Everything of value rests on those underpinnings. Historically, when family begins to unravel in a given culture, everything from the effectiveness of government to the general welfare of the people is adversely impacted. This is precisely what is happening to us today. The family is being buffeted and undermined by the forces operating around it. Alcoholism, pornography, gambling, infidelity, and other violent infections have seeped into its bloodstream. No-fault divorce is still the law of the land in most states, resulting in thousands of unnecessary family breakup. Clearly, there's trouble on the home front, and as we all know, it is the children who are suffering most from it. In cultures where divorces become commonplace, a large number of men and women choose to live together or copulate without bothering to marry, until millions of kids are caught in the chaos. Amen. You know, I would like to read more, but we don't have time. So we know the problem in today's society, you know, is caused by people's sins. Caused by, you know, divorces. We see kids growing up without children, I mean, without fathers. You know, and how the kids, the children need their parents together. You know, marriage is not meant to bring us happiness, fulfillment, but it's to help us be like Jesus. That's what John Yang said, okay? If you have a problem with that, go talk to John Yang. He told me that. So it's not me, okay? Okay. Okay, John, you better be careful now. All right. Yeah, people think that a husband or a wife will bring them happiness. That's a fairy tale. If you're not happy with where you are right now, and you think that a spouse will bring you happiness, you'll be disappointed. You know, Jesus called the man, the husband, to love his wife like Jesus loved the church. You know, we got to be imitating Christ in loving our wives like Jesus loved the church. And this is not a marriage retreat, so I don't go deeper in that, okay? You get my point. Okay, let's go on the last part here. Verse 33, chapter 5. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people longer, do not break your oath, but keep the oath you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, nor for God's throne, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything else, anything beyond this comes from the evil one. You know, again, Jesus said, you have heard, right? So he said, you got to go farther than that. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Don't even make a promise. Don't even make an oath. Because your word is your promise. You don't say, I promise. You don't need to promise. If your yes got to mean yes, your no got to mean no. If you say you're going to do something, do it. If you say you're going to be there, be there. If you say you're going to call somebody, call them. You know, nowadays, when you go to court, you got to swear in, right? Because a lot of people don't tell the truth. You know, I want to share about something my wife, my awesome wife. She went for an interview, a job interview. You know, after everything, the boss asked, do you have any questions? She said, no, but I have a condition. Don't ever tell me to lie or do anything illegal. That's my condition. If you want to hire me, hire me, but don't ever ask me to do those things. You know, and the boss hired her right away. And my wife, I'm very proud of her. She even challenged her boss to be righteous. You know, yesterday was her spiritual birthday. Yesterday she was like 16 in the Lord, 16 years in the Lord. She's little. Her size is little, but she's powerful. Don't mess with her. Okay? With our children also. We got to be firm with our children. Our yes got to be yes with them. Our no got to be no. There's no negotiation. Because the children, they want to do something. They want to negotiate. Please, 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 can I do this? I say no. And no is a no. Read my lips. No. You know, George Bush said that, right? He always said, read my lips. You know, that's why I'm working on my children to say no, and they got to obey. First time. And after the first time, there's consequences. You know, I don't play around. Yeah, sometimes I think we Americans are too soft on our children. I just tell the truth. We're too soft. We negotiate, we plead with them. There's no pleading. Let our yes be yes and our no be no. All right, I got to wrap up here, guys. If I can find my page. I have too many pages. You know, Sorry. I'm trying to find my conclusion. I guess I have no conclusion. Sorry, guys. Where's my conclusion? Okay. Anyway, the conclusion is the class is almost over. Okay, my conclusion without my paper, I'm going to tell you. Jesus expects us to bring it higher, to exceed. We need to be radical with our sins. We need to be radical with our relationships. In our purity, in our words, we got to be men and women in the kingdom of God who bring it higher, who exceed the righteousness that God has called us. To God be the glory. Amen.